Today's daf is daf. Hey, so we got to the top four lines down, the end of the line. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ha'ochel Lechem." So the Gemara had been discussing a different lav shebechlalos, where there's one lav, but there are multiple examples of that lav. So the Gemara now brings based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'lechem v'koli v'charmer lo sochlu ad etzem ayom hazeh." This is in Parshas Emor. The Isser of Chadash, you can't eat the new grains until after the Karban Omer is brought on the first Eichel Amor Pesach. So that before that carbon, it's all aser, it's aser midin chadash. So on that pasuk comes along Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ha'ochel Lechem, one who eats bread. Bread is just bread as we know it. Kali is the different seeds of the grains that's been dried in the oven. It was dried somehow. And v'charmel is just the seeds themselves, the grains themselves, that have not gone through any processes, just very in the natural, in the raw state. So one who eats lechem, kali v'charmel, all three of these items, all in one, he's lo kishalosh, he gets three sets of lashes, because the pasuk again singles out lechem, the kali v'charmel, lo sochlum. So Gemara asks, "V'ha ein lokin alav shebechalos?" But don't we know you don't get malchus on a lav shebechalos? And the Gemara says, "Shani hacha." This case is an exception. D'miyaser kri the pasuk. The words are extra. So Gemara says, "Lema kri." So lema the pasuk could really have said lechem. It should have just said lechem lo sochlada etzmayom hazeh. Don't eat bread that's chadash. And you could have learned these two items. Again, just to remind yourselves, kali is dried grains, and karmel is in the raw state. So you could have learned kali v'charmel from lechem. Ikal mifrach. The Gemara says no. There is a question you could ask, because mala lechem, shekei nisraba eita chala. There are the chumras that appear that exist by lechem, namely that that which is made into a dough is chayv and hafrashas chala. But kali v'charmel doesn't have hafrashas chala, and therefore if it only said in the pasuk lechem lo sochlo, I would have thought maybe only bread has a chumra of iser chadash, but kali v'charmel are not subject to the iser of chadash. So then the Gemara says, okay, nechtav kali. The pasuk could have said kali alone. It could have said kali lo sochlo ad etzem ayom hazeh, and then lo lichtav lechem, not write bread and not write charmel either. The Nalef, I could have learned mikali and say lechem. So Gemara says no, can't be true, because lechem mikali lo asi. You can't learn bread. If it only said kali in the pasuk, I could not have learned bread from kali, because again, kali is the type of grain. It was the dried seeds. So the Gemara says lechem mikali lo asi mishum de kali isa be'ein. So even though kali goes through some process in the oven or dried, it's still the initial state. It's dry. It's been oven dried, but still the initial form, as opposed to lechem lo isa be'ein, and the bread is not in its initial state. And maybe you would say that only when it's in the initial state is it iser chadash. When it goes through the process of grinding and sifting and baking, maybe it should lose the iser chadash, and therefore the pasuk does have to say lechem. And further, karmel lo miklei lo asi, and if it said only kali, you could not have learned karmel either. Why? Mishum de kali nisraba eitzel menachos. Because you find by the example by the carbon omer that there's a certain chumer that exists by kali, that kali is brought as a carbon. So since it's brought to as a carbon, maybe it also has the additional iser of chadash, as opposed to karmel lo nisraba eitzel menachos. Never do we find anywhere where karmel is permissible for the carbon, and therefore you could not have learned lechem and karmel had it said only kali alone in the pasuk. And then the Gemara says, okay, maybe it should have said only nichtov karmel in the pasuk. It could have said karmel lo sochlu ad etzem ayom hazeh, v'nelef lechem v'kali minei. And the Gemara says, d'ikla mifrach, you can ask mala karmel shekein lo nishtana mibiyasa. Because since karmel is in the natural form, even though, yes, the kali is be'ein, but still kali goes through the oven, it goes dried in the oven. But since bread and kali are somewhat unnatural, as opposed to karmel, maybe you could not have learned the Yitzhak Chadash from karmel, and therefore there seems to be no pasuk here, that's no word that's extra. The Gemara says, min chada lo yalfein, v'nelef chada min train. Granted, if it only said one of the three examples of the pasuk, that would not have been sufficient to teach the other two. But maybe the pasuk could have taught only two examples, and then the third one could have been derived from the two mentioned in the pasuk. So Gemara goes through one by one. Lo nichtav kra, the pasuk does not need to say the word lechem. It could have said simply the kali the karmel lo sofu, and nelef mikali v'karmel. Gemara says that you could not have learned bread, lechem, from those two, because de'ikol mifrach, mala kali v'karmel, disnayin be'enayum. Because both kali v'karmel, granted kali goes through the oven, some drying process in the oven, and karmel doesn't, but they're still be'en. They have not been processed at all, as opposed to lechem, which has been processed, so I would have thought maybe bread is not subject to iser chadash. So then the Gemara says, okay, lo nichtav kra karmel. Let's leave the word karmel out, v'nilef milechem v'kali. And the Gemara says, Dikla Mifrach, Mala Lechem Vikoli, Shekein Nisrabu Eitz Menachos. You could not have learned Carmel from those two, because we have bread by Lechem upon him, we have Kali by the Carbon Omer, as opposed to Carmel is never brought for a Carbon, so maybe there shouldn't be an Issa Chadish by Carmel either. So then the Gemara says, finally, Amar Reb Yitzchak, Lo Nichtav Kra Kali. The Pasuk didn't need to say the word Kali. V'nelef Milechem V'Karmel, and that could have been learned from Lechem and Carmel together. My parachta, what was your question? Even parachta, if you're going to ask, Mala lechem shekenes rabba eitz achala, well, lechem is a certain chabra because it's a fresh chala, so maybe only lechem has an isha chadash. Well, Carmel yachiyach, because Carmel isn't subject to chala, and yet we still see that there's an isha chadash. And imishim Carmel, if you're going to learn from Carmel alone, lo nishanam briyasa, Carmel didn't go through any process. But lechem yachiyach, but look at lechem, which did go through a process, and yet there's an isha chadash. And therefore, from the combination of lechi and Carmel together, you could have learned Kali from those two, and Hilkach Lok, and therefore one's Malkus because to Miyasir. The Pasuk unnecessarily mentions the example of Kali, and therefore we can make the drasha Kali to tell me that there's a Chilik Malachos, Chilik Chatals, rather Chilik Malkus on these three different types of Chadash. Gemara says, the Ema, let's say, Kali Miyasir, maybe, so now the Gemara agrees that the word Kali is extra. But maybe the conclusion is incorrect. Maybe you can't conclude that you get the three separate Malkos for Lechem, Kali the Carmel. Maybe you should say, Ema Kali the Miyasir, the word Kali is extra, Mechayv Chada. One's Chayv one on eating Kali as Chadash, and Akulim, the other one, meaning Lechem and Carmel as a unit, you should be Mechayv Chada as one, and also one set of Malkos for those two as a unit. Because those are mentioned in the Pasuk together, so maybe there should only be two sets of Malkos, not three. So the Gemara says, Im Kane, if that's the case, if it's really telling me that there should only be two sets of Malkos, Nichtav Kra, Lechem, Carmel, the Kali. The order should have been different, where Inami, Nichtav, Kali, the Lechem, the Carmel. It should have grouped Lechem and Carmel together. Either put Kali at the end, or put Kali in the beginning. My cost of Lekeli Be'em, so why they put Kali in between Lechem and Carmel to separate the two, must be to indicate that they have separate Malkos. Hachi Kamar. Lechem ki Kali nechayv, ve Carmel nechayv ki Kali. Both Lechem independently is like Kali, and Carmel is independently like Kali, and therefore each one of the three examples of Chadash will generate a set of Malkos. Okay. The Gemara now says, connected somewhat to what we've been talking about. So, Amr Biyane Liolam Alti Gzer Shava Kalabeinecha. A person should never take the concept of a Gzer Shava lightly. Sheharei Pigol Echad Migufei Torah. The concept of Pigol, a person eats from a carbon that was Pigol, that the Kohen had in mind to eat the Basar outside the Zman he was supposed to eat, that's Pigol. And a person, it's one of the Gufei Torah, it's one of the not fundamentals, but it's a din in the Torah. Below limdo hakasev ella migzer shava, and the fact that someone who eats pigel gets kares is only learned through gzer shava. So that tells you how serious we take gzer shava. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan tells us tani zavde bar Levi nemar lahalan. It says with regards to nosar leftover food from karbanos where it's no longer allowed to be eaten. Ve'ochlav avono yisa, one who eats it has to carry the sin. Ve'nemar lekaman kanra, that says here by eating pigel, but nefesh aucheles mimenu avonatisa, and one who eats pigel has to also bear that sin. Tamala halon kares, just like over there by nosar, it's kares afkan kares. So too by pigel, it's kares. Now even though it doesn't say kares by pigel, it's learned from a gzer shava. So we see a person shouldn't take a gzer so lightly, gzer shava so lightly, because we see one does learn an inin of kares through the midah of a gzer shava. Similar, Amr Rabbi Simai Oli Olam Alti Gzer Shava Kalabeinecha. A person should never take a Gzer Shava lightly. Sherei Nosar, when it comes to leftover karbanos, Echad Migufei Torah, Velo Limda Akasar Elam Gzer Shava. So we also only learn this concept of Nosar from a Gzer Shava that there's Karis. Simaihi, what's the Gzer Shava? Yalav Kodesh Kodesh Veochlav Avonav Yisa Kies Kodesh Hashem Chilal. And the Pasuk goes on to say, Venichra Saha Nefesh Ahi Me'ameha. So we have, the Pasuk says, Kodesh by Nosar, and it says, Kodesh was other context here, by, let's see, Uksiv v'seraftes anosar be'esh ki Kodesh v'gomer, and we see the fact that it says, Kodesh by Nosar, you're able to learn from the other context, that there's, where it says Kodesh, which says Karis there as well, we learn the concept of Karis through Nosar, through Gzer Shava as well. So then the Gemara says further, Amar Abayi li'ol mal yitig Gzer Shava kalabeinecha. Sherei bito manusaso Hein gufei Torah v'lo limdo hakasav elam gzer shava. The concept of a bita me'anusas, of a person who, let's say, raped an individual, a woman, and there was a daughter born from that. There's an iser. The Raya says one of the arayos, a woman gets sreifa for being ba al bito me'anusas. So, and that's also learned from a gzer shava. Damar Rava. Rava says Amar la Rebbe Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Asya heina heina li'isura. We have a gzer shava says heina with regards to bas ishto. It says in the pasuk that the word heina, and it says heina also in the context of a bas bito, by a granddaughter of an anusaso. So we have a daughter of an ishto and a granddaughter of anusaso. But what we don't have in the pasuk is we don't have a daughter of an anusaso. So it says bito bas isha heina and bas bito anusa are going to be a gzer shava connecting the two of them. And Asya Zima, Zima L'Sreifa, and it also says the word Zima to from another place to Gzer Shava to tell me that you get Sreifa on those two cases of both Bas Bito Menusaso and also Bas Ishto. And so we see from all this that we learn this Gzer Shava of there's a din of Sreifa for Bas Menusaso. Then the Gemara says further, Amar Rav Ashi, a final example of this theme, Al tigzer shava mekala beinecha, sharei niskalim hein hein gufo Torah. The concept of getting skila is also one of the parts of the Torah. V'lo limda nakasav elam gzer shava. And the only reason how we know this concept in many areas that we apply it is based on gzer shava. The sanya, nemar kan, it says here, this is regarding Baal Imo, and also regarding Baal Kalaso, that the chayvin skila, demeim bum, it says, demeim bum. Now when you read the words demeim bum, it doesn't indicate skila, it just means that their blood is their chayv misa, somehow they should die. V'nemar ba'ov v'yadoni demeim bum, but ov v'yadoni, the same phrase is used. And mala halah and meskila, just like by ov v'yadoni, it's clearly skila, because the pasuk clearly says, be'evin yirgamu, so afkan, by the gzer shava, anywhere else it says demeim bum, like regarding Baal Imo, Baal Kalaso, the din is meskila as well. So these are at four or five examples where we see from a gzer shava, we're able to apply a punishment of kare, srefa, or skila. Okay, the Gemara now goes back to the list of the 36 examples of krisos, hamefatim es hashemen, one who prepares shemen hamishcha for no purpose other than his own enjoyment, is considered, he's going to be chayv kares. So Tanur Rabban, the Braisa says, hamefatim es hashemen lilmabo, to learn, to understand it, limosa letzibur, actually to hint, to give it over to the tzibur to be used in the base of Migdash, pater. That's pater, because you need to have that. How else could a person ever make it for the tzibur? And secondly, we find the number of places a person is allowed to do do different isurim if it's to understand the Torah. That's allowed as well. That, of course, has to be understand how that works, but we have the example in a few places. Lasuch chai, but let's say he is mefatim es hashemen in order to rub oil on his skin for personal use, then he's chayv karis even on the pitam itself, even before he hasn't used it yet. Shinamar, it says in the pasuk, based on the pasuk, it says, Rashi quotes a pasuk, fine. V'hasach mimenu, one who actually uses the Shemen HaMishcha for his own personal use, is pater. L'fi she'ein chayavim el al sichas Shemen HaMishcha she'asa Moshe bilvad. So even though when it comes to being mefatim as Shemen HaMishcha, if you're trying to replicate what Moshe Rabbeinu did for personal use, you're chayv for the pitam itself, but if you actually use it, then you're not chayv, you're only chayv if you use that oil that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Amar Mars, we said above, Lomabo ol Amanas Lemoso Letzibur Pater. In those two examples, you're Pater from preparing the Shemen HaMishcha. It's again for the purpose of the Tzibur, or if it's for the learning purposes. Minolan, how do you know there's such a heter for these two examples? So Asya Maskunto, it says by Min Maskunas Bimaskunta. It says by Shemen HaMishcha, Umaskunto Lo Sasu Kamo in Parshas Kisisa, and it says Bimaskunto Diktores, it says when preparing the same word is used. So, k'siv l'gabe k'toras, with respect to k'toras, it says, lo sasu lachem, don't make the k'toras for you, for yourself, for personal use, lachem hudasar, aval lemos letzibur pater, but for the purpose of handing it over to the tzibur to be used, that's allowed. So, therefore, we're able to learn, gavi shemanami, lemos letzibur pater, through the gzer shava of maskunto. And then the Gemara says, once you have such a gzer shava, why not go both directions? Now you can learn a kedin of k'toras from Shemen HaMishcha.
meaning ma shemen ki mifatim lechatzayin pater. So just like a person prepares shemen mishcha, he doesn't do the full shear that it was once, but he does a half of the shear. He's pater. You have to do the full shear to be chayiv shemen mishcha. So af k'toras nami ki mifatim lechatzayin pater. A person who prepares only half the shear of k'toras should also be pater, just like by that of shemen mishcha. How come we have a din? I'm a Rava. K'toras shepit malachatzayin you're chayiv. And shemen av shepit malachatzayin pater. How come there's a chilek by preparing half the shear of shemen you're pater, but half the shear of k'toras you're chayiv? If there's a gezeirah shavah, it should go both directions. So Amalach Rava, Rava responds back, the gavi shemen k'siva b'maskunto lo sasu kamohu. Kamohu do aser aval chetzio shapir dami. The pasuk says dafka kamo, dafka how it was done in the base of Mikdash, or rather with the Mishkan of the 12 log of shemen like Moshe, only that's aser, anything short of that is pater. But gavi k'toras d'chsiva v'k'toras asher taser doesn't say kamo, it just says taser, anything who makes, anybody who makes any amount of k'toras, kol asiyas k'toras, it's pater, it's chai rather. Because even in the morning, you'd be yotzei the chiv of k'toras even by a small shear. So if one were to replicate that a small shear for k'toras, you would be chayiv for doing so as well. Okay, Gemara now quotes a b'raisa tana rabbanan shemen hamishcha, the special oil that was used to anoint the Kohanim Gadolim, and the Mishkan was Mar Dror, was one of the spices that's listed in the Pasuk, and Chamesh Meos was 50, or rather 500 shkalim. Kida was also Chamesh Meos, another spice or herb, was 500 as well. Kinmon Besem is also Chamesh Meos, also 500. Ukane Vosem Chamishim Masayim, that's 250. Nimsu Kulam Elaf Ushra Meos V'chamishim. If you do some math, it ends up being 1,750 shkalim altogether. The first year, 500, 500, 500, that's 1,500. Plus the last one is 250, that gives you 1,750 shkalim worth of the Shemen HaMishcha. So Tana, the Gemara says, Minyana Kamash V'lon, we could do math. I just did math for us now. Why does the Braisa conclude 1,750? I could add 500, 500, 500, 250 on my own. So the Gemara says, Tana ha kakashile. This was the what bothered the Braisa that it had to tell you the amount, because Aim, I would have thought, it says in the Pasuk, I'll read the Pasuk first, it says, V'kinemon besem machetiso chamishim masayim. Half the kinemon besem is 250, u'kinei vosem is chamishim masayim is 250 as well. So it says, kinemon besem is 250, it says, kinemon besem is half of it is 250, meaning you really have to bring your total 500. So there's a little ambiguity in the Pasuk here, but Ema, I would have thought perhaps, kinei vosem kikanam besem. And ma kinamon besem machatiso bechamishim asayim, that just like the kinamon besem, the pasuk says that half is 250, which implies the full amount is 500, I would have thought the last thing mentioned, which is knovasem, af knevelsem, is machatiso chamishim asayim, and really it should be the full amount, should be 500, which would total the havalu train alphan, which would have been 500, 500, 500, 500, and therefore the pasuk, the price had to tell me, no, the last one is very, is dafka. When it says Knovosim Chamishim Masayim, it means Dafka 250, it's not half 250, it's the full amount that's 250, and therefore by giving the sum of 1750 makes that very clear. Ve'ema Hachanami, maybe you should say when it says in the Pasuk at the end, Knovosim Chamishim Masayim, maybe Ein Hachanami does mean only half is 250, and you really need a full amount of 500. Gemara says, Imkain, if that were to be the case, Nichtav Kala Pasuk should have said, Kinemon Besem, Ukne Vosem, Mechate, Umechze Chamishim Masayim. That would have indicated each one is half 250. And since it didn't say that, we're able to conclude that the total of the Kno Vosem was 250. Gemara now says, Amrle Rapapale Baye, Kishu Shoka, when they were to weigh the different herbs and simanim, spices for the Shemen HaMishcha, Bechreya Hushoka. They would do it in such a way where they'd weigh a little more. So they weigh out the amounts. You have some, bronze on one side of the scale and some herbs on the other side, but they actually want to have a little bit of extra herbs on the side, having a little heavier than the 250 or 500 needed. So that's what it means, Be'achreya Hushokel, O Ayin Be'ayin Hushokel, or it can even be exact, but can't be less. Either more or exact, but certainly not less. So Amalei Rachmana Kasiv Bad Bevad, Vat Amris Be'achreya. The Pasuk says when preparing the Shemen HaMishcha, Bad Bevad sounds like it's very exact, very precise the amount. And now you're giving the option of having more Be'achreya, Be'achreya Shokel. We could tip the scale having more herbs than the 250 and 500 prescribed. The Gemara says, "V'hamar Rav Yehuda Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yodei Hachreyos Amad Is Be'achreya." So he says, no, how come you're uncomfortable with this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the, it's a little unclear how this fits in exactly here, but he knows that the schar of increasing the herbs there, and therefore there's such a concept. Why are you so bothered by tipping the scale a little bit more in favor of more herbs and spices being there? So Ella Amar Rav Yehuda says, Dikidman Besem Amai Maisi Mechatisa Dechamesh Mayos. How come we're bringing, if Kidman Besem is really the total is 500, how can we bring it as 250 half and 250 half? Chamishim Masayim Bechazimna, Vechamishim Masayim Bechazimna. Came into Kul Chamishim Meos Havin, since it total 500, Naisi Chamish Meos Bevasachas, bring them all together. Why does the Pasuk tell me bring half and half? Shemamina must be Kidikamaisi Le Likinman Besim betrays him. When you bring it each one independently, 250, 250, Dechreisbi, we're weighing it out separately. We want 250 plus a little bit. And another 250 plus a little bit, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Bechreis, and he understands the how much he'll tip the scale, and that was the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having each time you weigh it a little bit more than what the Torah actually describes. So now if that's the case, if we're not being so precise, so my bad bevad. What does the pasuk mean when it says bad bevad, which again seems to indicate very precise? So Amar Ravina, shloi aniach mishkal b'mishkal v'yishkal. You shouldn't weigh each herb separately, meaning once I got the 250 of one of the spices, don't take those spices and weigh another spice up against it. It should always be a barzel up against each of the spices independently, and that's how the process should move on. Okay, but bavad means like levad, the word levad. So each one should be measured independently and not use those same herbs to weigh up against another set of spices. So Gemara now quotes a brayse at the end of the daf here, end of the amud here, Tanur Rabbanan. Shemna Mishcha she'asa Moshe b'midbar, the Shemna Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared in the midbar for the Mishkan, Mishalko ha'ikarin, he cooked the roots of the herbs, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how he was able to produce the oil. So he put the herbs and put it in oil and started to boil the water, boil the oil rather, and then the herbs would begin to penetrate its scent into the oil around it. That's how Rabbi Yehuda, a very simple way to produce the scented oil. So Amar Lei Rabbi Yossi, Halo Lasuch Ikarin Eino Sipek. Is that really enough? If you just use the Ikarin of the herbs, it's not going to be sufficient. Because the whatever the mountain works of the 1750 shkalim of herbs there up against 12 lug of oil, it's just not, the math's not going to work out enough. So Gemara says, Kate, how would he do this? Ose Hakeset Ose, Heviu Haikarin Shlokin Bimaim. First he'd take the herbs and he'd boil them in water. Fine. Why? Because the chashash was, if you didn't boil them in water first, we have these roots. We know everything can absorb something. So now the herbs are going to start absorbing the oil, and you're going to have much less oil than needed. You're going to have less than 12 lug. So initially you put 12 lug in. So imagine you have your soup, and you put a ton of croutons and challah in there. There's not going to be any soup left because the challah is going to absorb everything here. So if you have only 12 lug of oil, which is not that much, and 1750 shkalim of herbs, all the herbs are going to now absorb the oil, and there's no oil to use to anoint anything. So first what they did was they took the herbs and put it into water, and it boiled water, and the herbs absorbed the water. Now they're waterlogged. And then when you take the waterlogged roots and put them in the oil, it's not going to absorb any oil. You have the 12 lug of oil remain after the boiling process. It just, all it did was it took on some of the scent, but you didn't lose any of the oil that got absorbed into the ikarin, because already the water that boiled in it was already absorbed in the ikarin. So that's the process. So again, Ketet Osa, Heviu HaIkarin, he took all the roots of the herbs, Ushlakim Amayim, first boiled them in water, so the water would waterlog the roots, and then Hitzif Alein Shemna Mishcha, then he put the Shemna Mishcha on top of it, and then V'kal Yisareach, it would then absorb, take on the smell, the Kipcho, and collect the oil, and then he'd use it to anoint whatever he needed to anoint. So Amalo Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, okay, very nice what you're saying, in a practical sense what you're saying makes sense, but v'chi neis echad na'aseh b'shemna mishcha, where is there only just one miracle that took place there that you needed to create another miracle? V'halo nisim harvi nasuba, there's so many of them, so I'm not bothered by the fact that you just put 12 lug of oil with all the spices. Okay, so you're scared you're going to lose some of the oil into the ikarn? Big deal, there's so many nisim that took place there. Mitchilas about sofa, from the beginning to the end. Mitchilasa, the beginning, lo hayu ela shnei masar lug. When they started the process of collecting the oil initially, there's only 12 lug. And bo nimshach hamishkan, and that 12 lug, which is not a lot of oil apparently, they used to anoint the mishkan, v'chelav, and v'aron, uvanav, kol shivas yimei abilum. They anointed Aaron and his sons each day of the 7 days of preparing for the mishkan. And bo nimshachu kohanim gedolim melachim, and that was the same oil used for generations of other kohanim gedolim and other kings to be. And kulakayim lasa lavo, and that same 12 lug of oil is going to last forever. So shenamar shemen hamishcha mishchas kodesh yela ze li ledoraisechem zemin ze begmatcha shnei masar lugin havo. It remained the 12 lug from beginning until the end. So that's one nace. So don't be bothered by the fact that none of the oil was lost when being boiled with the herbs. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa now says, "Vayikach Moshe Shemen Hamishcha v'Yimshach as a Mishkan v'Gomer." He took the oil and anointed the Mishkan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shemen Hamishcha she'asa Moshe b'Midbar har benisim nasu bo mitchilas v'atzofo tchilaso ein lohayu el Hashem asar lugin kama yora boles. How could that be possible? There are 12 lug of shemen. How much oil does the vat boil up when it begins to boil? Some of it evaporates. Some of it gets absorbed in the walls of the kalim. B'ma kama ikarin. How much did the ikarim, did the herbs absorb of the oil? Bolon, did they swallow up? Kama or sarf, the fire itself evaporated some of the oil. Bo nimshach mishkan v'kalev, and yet there is a sufficient amount to anoint the mishkan and the kalev. V'arun uvanava kol v'shivat yimei amiluim uvo nimshu kohanim gadol melachim v'afil kohen gadol ben kohen gadol tam mishicha. Even a kohen gadol who takes over after his father also requires a mishicha. V'ein moshe melech b'melech, but a prince who takes over as king for his father doesn't require mishicha. We'll get into those halachas in just a second. Vim Tomer, now after establishing all that, the Gemara just wants to know. The Braisa asks, well, that's really true that a Melch ben Melch doesn't require Mashiach. Vim Tomer, mipnei ma mashku Shlomo. Shlomo received the Mashiach. He required it, even though he was the son of David HaMelech. So, mipnei machlokas Adonia, because there's a machlokas Adonia who's going to take over. That's why they had to make it clear through the Shemen HaMishcha. V'yoash, mipnei Asalia, Yehoash also required it, even though he's the son of Ahaziah, who was a king. He needed it because there was a fight with Asalia, and because his brother is older than him 2 years, so he also had to have Shevna Mishcha. So whenever there's a machlokas, then you even require Mishcha by a Melech ben Melech. There's a machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam, how fundamental that is. I don't forget who says which way, but one of them holds that the only reason why you need Shevna Mishcha for the Melech ben Melech is simply because Maris Ayin, but you really don't need one. It was a Yerusha that took place, and the other one felt no. Normally Melech ben Melech is a Yerusha, but once there's a machlokas, the Yerusha no longer exists, and Mikra Din, you do require a Shemen HaMishcha, even though he's a Melech ben Melech. So now the Gemara is going to go through some of these dinim and analyze this Braisa. I know it's late, it's long, but I told you these dafim are very, very long in Maseches Krisis. We'll do the best we can. So Amar Mar, the Gemara said above, Afilu Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol ta Mashiach. Even though a Kohen Gadol, the son, is taking over for his father as Kohen Gadol, he does require a Mashiach. Minolon, how do we know? Zichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Va'Kohen HaMashiach Tachtov mi banav. So name of the Pazik could have said Vakoin Shetachtov mi banav. My Hamashiach. Why does it say Hamashiach? We know every Kohen Gadol is a Mashiach. He was anointed. So why does it say when the Kohen takes over another Mashiach? Hakamash Malam Dafil mi banav. Even if it's one of the children taking over, Hahu de Mashiach Harei Kohen Gadol. If he's receives the Mashiach, then he's a Kohen Gadol. Vilo Mashiach. If the son doesn't get the Mashiach, then lo havi Kohen Gadol. Meaning the only way you could become a Kohen Gadol is through Shemen HaMishcha. Well, that's not really true, because the Gemara does tell us there's a certain point in time where they didn't have Shemen HaMishcha available anymore, so during Bayis Rishon they would have Meruba Begadim. When the Kohen Gadol would wear the 8 unique Begadim, that would also make him a Kohen Gadol. That would be the second way to become a Kohen Gadol if there is no Shemen HaMishcha available. Amar Mar, the Gemara said above as well, Ein Moshkin Melech Bemelech. You don't need to anoint a king if a prince takes over for his father. He does not require a Mashiach. Minon, how do we know there's no need for a Mashiach in that case? So Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, the Pasuk says, that Tichsiv Leman Yarich Yomim Al Mamlachto, in order for Parsha Shoftim, in order that the Malchus should continue for many years, Hu Uvan of he and his children, so Yerushi, so clearly in the Pasuk, there's an Indian of Yerusha. Now this is a very big topic in Yerusha in general. Yerusha certainly applies to Malchus. Does it apply to Rabbanis? Does it apply to other positions of authority? That's a big machlokas based on the Rambam and other Mefarshim. But here we see clearly that Malchus is certainly Yerusha, and therefore there is no need for a Mashiach. So then why did Shlomo get a Mashiach if he in fact was of course the son of David HaMelech? Because they had a debate. So what's the source that when there's a machlokas, then you do taka need a Mashiach? and not anybody who wants could just be Yorishit to whoever they want to. Amar Papa, Amar Kra, Bekerav Yisrael, when does it say what Levan Yarich Yamim Al Mamach Tahu Vanav? Bekerav Yisrael, only when it's Bekerav Yisrael, only when it's Bizman Sheshalom Yisrael, does Yerusha become a natural order. But the moment there's a Machloka, so then that Yerusha no longer takes place, and you would need a Mashiach to start the process all over again. So Tana Af Yehu Ben Nimshi, who was a king, Lo Nimshach El Mipnei Machlokas Yoram Ben Achav, that was also another example of a Machlokas where there's a need for a Mashiach. So my Gemara wants to know, typically the Melech Rishonu. So by Yehu, so he didn't have a Mashiach because Machlokas. His father wasn't a king. That's why there was a Mashiach. So what's it saying because the Machlokas Yoram? So Gemara says, Chasur Mechser V'Hachi Katani. There's something missing in the Braisa. It really Malchus Bei David Moshchin. If you're king from the lineage of David, you require Mashiach. Malchus Yisrael ain't Moshchin. If you've got Malchus Yisrael, that doesn't require Mashiach. Vim Tomer, if that's the gate between Ma Mashku Yehu Ben Nimshi, he was a Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael don't require Mashiach. How can we require Mashiach? Bipnei Machlokas Yom Ben Yachav, and that's why even by Malchus Yisrael do require Mashiach if it's in the case of a Machlokas. So Amar Mar, we said above, Malchus Beis David Moshchin, Vein Malchus Yisrael Moshchin. What's the basis for such a chiluk? Minalan Dichsiv, it says in the Pazuk, Kum Mishachayu Ki Zehu Zetaun Mashiach Vein Achata Mashiach. This is referring to being anointing David HaMelech. So only Zetan, only this one requires Mashiach David, but Malchus Yisrael doesn't require a Mashiach. Right to the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Mipnei Machlokas Yoram. So the reason why Yehu required a Mashiach, even though he is from Malchus Yisrael, is because the Machlokas where Yoram challenged his Malchus. Mishim Machlokas Yoram Ben Achav Nimal B'Shem HaMishcha. Wait a second here. Shem HaMishcha is a Hekdesh. So now, because there's a Machlokas, we're able to now benefit from Shem HaMishcha. Isn't that bordering, if not in fact fully, a violation of Me'ilah? So Gemara says, no, truth is they didn't use Shem HaMishcha. Kedamar Papa Bafarsarim Dachya, some type of fancy oil they used, Hachanami Bafarsarim Bafarsma Dachya, some type of fancy Shemin, but it wasn't Shem HaMishcha of the Mishcha. So Gemara then says, "As Yehoachaz b'pnei Yehoyakim, they anointed him even because the machlokas of Yehoyakim tried taking the malchus. Shehiyah gadol imenim b'shesharim, because Yehoyakim was also older than him for two years older than him." So Gemara says, "Really? Umi kashis? Was Yehoyakim really older than Yehoachaz?" Actually, the pasuk says, "Ubnei Yoshio, who are the children of Yoshio? Habachor is Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashishi Tzidkiyahu, Harvi Shalom." Now we don't have mentioned here in the pasuk Yehoachaz. Amar Rebbe Yochanan Hu Yoachaz. So we see now, fitting it back in the pasuk, when it says the Bechor is Yochanan, that really means Bechor was Yoachaz, and the second in line was Yoyakim. It's Tzidkiyahu, he was Shalom. Fine. Either way, we see that Yochanan / Yoachaz was older than Yoyakim, not the other way around. So the Gemara says, Liolam Yoyakim Kash. Really, Yoyakim was older. So my Karle Bechor. So why are they calling Yochanan / Yoachaz the Bechor? Shu Bechor the Malchus. He wasn't Bechor in terms of age. He's Bechor in terms of being fit to be king. So Mimok Minan Zuta Kami Kishisha. Wait a second. Could you really appoint the younger child, the younger son, over the older son for the Malchus? Vaksiv the Pasuk says, Ves Hamamlocha Nasan Yehoram Ki Hu Abachor. Why do they appoint Yehoram the king? Because he's the Bechor. We see the qualifications you need are simply to be the oldest. So how could you appoint Yochanan, the younger one, over Yoyakim? Mar says, Hahu Mimali Mekom Avosav Haba. The reason why is because he has to be fitting for it. If they're both equal in terms of Chachma and the year and everything else, fine, you choose the older one. But when the older one isn't fit and the younger one is fit, the younger one is Mimala Makum Avosav Haba, then in Echanami you would appoint the younger one. So then the Gemara says, Amar Marit says above, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyahu. The Pasuk had said there are four children of Yoshio. It was Yochanan, who we now know as Yehoachaz. There's Yoyakim. And then the third one was Tzidkiyahu, and the fourth one Shalom. But the Gemara just said at the end that Tzidkiyahu Hu Shalom. So child three and child four are really the same person. So the Gemara wants to know, Amar Mar, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyahu, V'ha Bidari Kachashiva, but isn't it listing the generations? And the third one is Tzidkiyahu, and the fourth one is Shalom. How could you say that they're the same person? So Gemara explains, my Karile, why are they calling them Shlishi? Shu Shlishi Labam. He's a third in terms of the order of being born. Umai Karile Revi, why are you calling the fourth one? Shehu Revi Lamalchus. Because he was the fourth one who became king. Mishim Demalch Yechaniah, after Yoyakim, Yechaniah, a grandson of Yoshua became king, Kame, before Shalom Tzidkiyo became king. Betchila Malchiyo Achaz, Vesof Malchiyo Yochum, Vesof Malchiyo Chanya, Vesof Melch Tzidkiyo. He was really the fourth. Well, even though he's a third child, there was a grandson who kind of went in between him, and then Tzidkiyo became the fourth generation of the king. So then the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tani Rabbanan, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyahu, Lama Nikra Shema Shalom. So why are we calling his name Shalom if his name is really Tzidkiyahu? Shehaya Shalom B'masav, he was complete in his actions. Davar Acher, alternatively, Shalom Shalom Malchus Beis David B'yama, because he completed, he was the last last Melech of Beis David. It was Shalom, it was complete. Umashma, what was his real name? His real name was actually Matanya Shemo. Shenemar Vayamlech Melech Bavel Es Matanya Dodo Tachto V'yosef Shemo Tzidkiyo. So his real name is really Matanya. So the Amar Lo, he called Yatzdik Alav Es Adin Em Timrod B. He always brought justice, and that's why it's called Tzidkiyo. Shenemar V'yavei Oso B'Allah Uksiv V'gam B'Melech Nevuchad Netzar Marod Asher Hishbio Be'lokim. Okay, let's keep going. You have to go, feel free to go. Mi have Shemen HaMishcha. So wait a second, in the times of Yehoachaz, was it really Shemen HaMishcha? V'atanya, didn't the Brisa tell us that Misha Nignas Aron, Nignas Sintanas Haman, Tzilochas Shemen HaMishcha, U'maklo Shel Aron Shekedev Rachav, V'argo Sheshigro Pelishim, Daron Lekel Yisrael. So we know when they hid the Aron, Yoshua Melch hid the Aron, he not only hid the Aron, but he hid all those things that were standing outside, that was stationed outside the Aron, which is the Mon, and the plate of oil, and the stick, the staff of Aron, and the special encasement that the Pelishim sent for everyone. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'ez Klei Hazav Asher Hashevosam Lo, Asherim Tasimu V'argiz Mitzido. So Umi Ganza, who's the one who hid all these items? Yoshua Melch Yehuda Gnaza, who's the father of Yehoachaz. Shenam Mars, it says, V'yomer l'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael ha'kdoshim l'Hashem t'nu es aron ha'kadosh. And it goes on to say in the house and hide it somewhere underneath. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yelzer, Rabbi Yelzer says, As yasham sham, as doros doros, as mishmeres mishmeres, to teach us that all these different gzer shavas, that not only was there the aron hidden, but the makla shel aron and the mon and the shlucha shel shemen ha'mishcha. Either way, we see from all this that there was no shemen ha'mishcha available after Yoshua Melech. So what shemen ha'mishcha are they referring to by Yehoachaz? To which the Gemara answers, Amar Papa Bafarsima Dachi. And that's fancy oil, but it wasn't really the shemen ha'mishcha that was used. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa now says, Moshchanes Hamlachim Kimin Nezer. When they would anoint the king, they do it in some type of shape as a crown. And Vesakwanim Kimin Ki, they do a shape of a key, which is a key. Amar Rabbi Menashe Kimin Ki Yivani, a key or a cuff Yivani. The Gemara says also Menachos, which is according to most opinions an X they make on the forehead for the Kohen Gadol. So Tanachada Betchila Matzik Shemen Arosho. First, when it came to anointing the Kohen Gadol, they poured us what? A shape of something else?
Yeah,
All right, there's different opinions, but I think X is the what Rashi, I believe, writes in Menachos. But then they first pour the Shemen HaMishcha on the head of the oil of the Kohen Gadol. V'charkach nasan lo Shemen bein risa yinov. Then they put the oil between his eyebrows. V'tani acharisi, another Brisa says, no. V'tchila nosin lo Shemen bein risa yinov. First they put it between the eyebrows. And only acharkach matzik lo Shemen al rosha. Then they put it on the forehead. So which is the proper order? Rosh, and then eyebrows, or eyebrows, and then the rosh? The Tani Chad, the Gemara says Tanahi, it's really a machlokas Tanayim. Ikelman damar Meshicha Adifa, Vikelman damar Yitzika Adifa. So Meshicha is when they press it between the eyebrows, and you can't really pour it down, it doesn't really work, so get in the guy's eyes. And Yitzika is when you pour in the Rosh and the letter drip down. So some say Yitzika is better, starting by Rosh, letting it drip down, and the others felt that the Meshicha of rubbing it between the eyebrows is better. So my time, the Amar Yitzika Adifa. What's the basis for the one who holds that the pouring from the head down is better, and therefore first? Shenamar says in the pasuk, Vayitzok Mishemen Hamishcha Al Rosh Ha'aron. The pasuk is Vayitzok. Uman Damar Mishicha Adifa, the Kasavar Shekein Nishaba Eitzok Klesheres. Because by Klesheres, the din is, it says clearly, Umashach Dabas El Moed. So we learn from Kalim, you should do Mishicha on the Kohen Gadol as well. So that's the machlok, is whether Yitzika is better or Mishicha is better. Mahaksi Vayitzok. Doesn't it say Yitzok in the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol? Uvasof Vayimshach, and only afterwards does it say Vayimshach? So isn't this clearly that the Yitzika should take place first before the Mashiach? So the Gemara says,
Hachikama. Ma tam vayitzok, mishum vayimshach osa lekachok. Even though it says vayitzok first in the pasuk before vayimshach, still it means vayitzok. Why do you do vayitzok? Because you first did a vayimshach. That's how you're rereading the pasuk. So then the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, Kashemen Hatov, it says in the pasuk at the end of Tehillim, Kashemen Hatov al Rosh, when the good oil is on the head of the Kohen Gadol, and it drips down onto the beard of Aaron, fine. And the pasuk says, Api Midosav, Kimin Shtei Tipan Margalios Hayutlios L'Aaron Ubizikano. When the oil dripped down from his head all the way down his beard, he had oil all over himself, there were two little pearls, looked like two pearls, the head dangling from the tip of his beard. And Amr of Kana Tana, Kishu Mesaper, when Aaron would speak, Olos V'yoshes B'Ikare Zikano. The pearls would like move up and down like little beads as he would begin to speak. V'al davar zehaya Moshe Rabbeinu Doeg, and Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very worried about this. What was he worried about? Shema Chas V'Sham Me'alti B'Shan HaMishcha. Maybe I gave him too much oil, I violated the Isser Me'ila, because he's got these extra oil drips that are hanging on his beard. So Yotze Baskel V'Amra, out came a heavenly voice and said, Ketal Chermon Sheyored Al Hare Tzion. Like the dew of the Hermon mountain that drips down on the mountains of Tzion, Ma Tal Ein Bo Me'ila, just like Tal is never subject to Me'ila, you could enjoy all the Tal in the world without any limit. So too, the oil that drips from his beard is not subject to the Isser Me'ila. But Aaron himself was now worried, even though Moshe wasn't. Shema Moshe Lomal, but Ani Malti. So Moshe didn't. He did a lot. He poured a lot of oil on me. That was he supposed to do. But for me to constantly use the oil moving up and down like beads on my beard, maybe I'm violating Me'ila. The Yotz Sebaskel V'Omer Lo, Hinei Ma Tova Ma Noam Sheva Zachem Gam Yachad. Two brothers sit together. Ma Moshe Lomal Afata Lo Ma Alta. Tanir Barn the Bryson now says, Ein Moshe Chinus Amlochem Elam Alamayon. When you do the Mashiach of a king, it should be next to a spring. Kedei Shetimashech Malchus as a bracha, that just like the spring is overflowing with water, so too your Malchus should continue for many, many years. Shenamar, it says, Vayomer Melech, the Gomer, Paratim Elso El Gichon. Gichon was a Mayon, Umashach Elso Sham, and that's where he would anoint him. Okay, that was a lot. Should we stop here? And we'll continue tomorrow? Or... tomorrow also that. I'm not sure which is better. It sounds long tomorrow. Okay, 7:45. Let's stop here. We'll see what we get to tomorrow. Okay.